you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai. I am the host of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I have here a friend, David Pisarek, who is with WOW Digital Incorporated. David, how are you, sir?
I am fantastic. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. We were just talking about cameras, and I know that probably most of my audience is going to be like, why are they talking about cameras? What does that have to do with nonprofits? Probably nothing, but initially, I think that the setup, maybe like there are nonprofits who are looking at different ways to capture their story. Maybe video has something to do with that. And I didn't know, before we get into anything else we want to talk about, if you had any opinions on using video for nonprofits or even using photography. You know, how do they better use photography in their marketing efforts? I know the first thing that comes to mind is just putting stuff up on Instagram with some regularity, right? Instagram requires some frequency, some regularity. But what do you think about all this?
I'm really happy we're actually talking about this.
Uh-huh.
Because it's really important that as a nonprofit, we evoke some kind of emotion in the community, in the people that are looking at our stuff, whatever that stuff happens to be. Maybe it's a website, brochure, and boring annual reports, like whatever it happens to be, you need to evoke that emotion. So if you're talking about print medium, you want to make sure you have really clear, strong images. Don't really do things that are abstract, unless I guess maybe you're in the arts side of the world, but you want to, our caveman, cave person instinct is to look at people in the eyes. It's just what it is. Science backs it. Psychology backs it. If you can get photos of people looking directly at the camera, you're going to be able to create a more emotional connection with the people that you want to connect with. Now, video, they say, what, pictures are worth 1,000 words. Videos are worth 1,000,000 words. You can tell so much through the story about what you do, who you do it for, the impact that you have, in as short as a 10 or 15 second clip, right? And that is super, super impactful. To your point about Instagram, if you're going to post anything on social media, you need to do it on a regular, frequent basis. Figure out whatever that cadence is for you and post on that basis. And you are going to start to see that you're getting more visibility. The algorithms want people who are so-called influencers, but really what that is posting stuff on a regular posting something on a frequent basis, like once a week. That's not frequent. That'll just get lost in the news feed. You're not going to get any kind of traction. By frequent, I mean maybe every morning at 10 a.m. and if you can, maybe at 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. You're going to see the different posts, the times, if you track them, where you get the most traction in terms of time of day. People might be searching, they're on a coffee break or they're on lunch, or maybe it's in the evening when they're just sitting at home on their couch or out and about doing.
I think it's our job as podcasters to sort of suss out the nuances of the conversation. So I'm known for asking devil's advocate questions or to play dumb and ask the dumb question. And sometimes I'm genuinely dumb. It's true. but so my hesitation to using video for the Snapcast, for instance, is it requires a whole order of effort that doesn't exist if I go just audio. If I go video, now all of a sudden I have to worry about lighting and possibly even how I look on a camera, background stuff like that. And sure, I'm using this thing, which would probably be better with the green screen. I guess maybe I'm overcomplicating things for myself. A nonprofit doesn't necessarily have to do that. Clearly, there are a lot of people in the world who are shooting video and they're not worrying about background. They're not worrying about makeup and stuff like that. So just go for it. Is that what you would say?
The best thing you can do is to actually do something. Whatever you have, grab your cell phone, grab a tablet that you've got, shoot some kind of video, do something with it. Whatever it looks like, it doesn't matter. People want authenticity. And I think that that's essentially what you're talking about.
I think that's right. I think it's a good word for it, authenticity. In my counseling days, we would call it just be genuine, right? Be just frankly genuine about yourself and what you're trying to convey. All right. So photography, video, It doesn't need to be complex. I think you would, you know, we could all agree that all of us have a device in our hands right now that will likely shoot some pretty high quality photography and video. You don't have to have an SLR. You don't have to have a studio set up at all. Just use it. Is there anything that you would advise a nonprofit to do or not to do as they think about using photos or videos?
You want to try to show the impact that the donor dollars are having and really kind of tie that through everything and bring that in, not just in the pictures and the video, but in the messaging. There's so many pieces of mail that I get and email that I get from organizations as we work with nonprofits and charities. That's just what we do. And as part of our core values, we believe in giving to those. So personally, we donate and we support this cause and that cause. There's times of year, you know, Giving Tuesday, end of year giving, get your tax receipt season. I get random letters and nothing really talks about the impact that they're having. If I'm going to give $20, if I'm going to give $500, whatever the amount happens to be, I want to know that it's going towards something worthy. Now, I believe in the causes. I've been involved in these causes and organizations. Inherently, I get what they're doing. I would take a look at your list. People that are giving maybe $20 a year, do they really know what you're doing? Can you show the impact? What can you do to talk to them to get them to $25 or to get them to $50? And how can you bring them in for the long haul? Even $3 a month instead of $20 a year. That's $300. My goodness, my math is off. That's $36 a year instead of $20 a year. Yep. You've almost doubled what they're willing to donate because maybe you're framing it in a different way. For $2 a month, you can do X, Y, and Z. You can buy pencils and erasers for 3 classrooms in the middle of some country, right? Think about that type of stuff. Talk about the impact.
Yep, absolutely. Does it matter? Does the statement of impact matter if I'm talking to a $3 a month donor versus a $300 a year donor? Are they looking for the same facts and figures?
The people that donate more, they probably want a little bit more detail, a little bit more example of how it's being used. But if you're going to go through the effort of putting that kind of collateral together to talk about what you're doing, get that to the other people as well. Get that to the people that are on the lower end of the donation.
That makes a ton of sense. And to some degree, data is simply data. If it, in my world, I've never had the good fortune of being able to be a major gifts person, but I do appreciate the energy it takes to say to me, "Hey, Vicky, your dollar translates to this kind of action within the confines of this nonprofit." I very much appreciate that sort of breakdown. So this is good. I'm not sure this is what we originally intended to talk about today on the Snapcast. Should we steer it back in that general direction?
Absolutely. Sure. Let's do it.
You want to get us started?
What was it that we were going to talk about? There's all kinds of stuff I could talk about. We're a digital agency. We work with nonprofits and charities talking about what people can do to improve their web presence to get more traffic. That's kind of the general direction that we want to go in. And so where to start?
Well, I mean, you hit on the issue of traffic. If I'm a nonprofit, the issue of getting more eyes on my stuff is always going to be on my mind. Digitally seems like the easiest bang or the better bang for the buck on how to manage that. But if all I've got is a Facebook page and a web page, how do I hook it all up? How do I make that happen? How do I create content that, I mean, it's one thing to put up brochureware website and I'm just going to say for the record, I personally don't think there's anything wrong with brochureware website. Even though every page should have some call to action, every page should have some donation window on it. Brochureware is fine. You don't have to have a website that does amazing functional things. But once I build it, how do I make sure people will come to it?
Then that's an excellent point. Most of the work that we do is on these corporate brochure type sites. There's a lot of the organizations we work with, they have a foundation or they have a donor team, and they're the ones that are really driving the money coming in and working on grants and that type of stuff. So the work that we're doing is primarily this brochure type stuff. One of the things that we always, always, always have to focus on is call to action. Nobody's going to do anything unless you tell them to. We need to presume that people aren't sure what to do. So take a look at your analytics. First step. If you don't have analytics on your site, get in touch with me. We'll help get you on. Google Analytics is free. As a little side note, if you're using Google Analytics, you're probably on Universal Analytics 3. That's going to stop collecting data July 1st, 2023. So make sure you switch over to GA4, Google Analytics 4, now, so at least you have some historical data to compare with in the same account, or the same property is what they call it. So that will help you. If you don't have analytics, we'll get it. We'll hook you up. We'll set it up for free, no cost. Just get in touch. presuming you have analytics, take a look at the top 10 pages of your site. Homepage is probably number one. Typically, the homepage gets 30 to 40% of your traffic. Google and the other search engine, Bing, Yahoo, they want to send you to the content. They want to send users to the content that they're actually looking for, to the relevant page. They're not, years ago, they would send you to the homepage and then you have to click and click and click and eventually you'd find your way there. They want to send you directly there. So look at the analytics, top 10 pages, open those pages up in your browser. See what they actually look like. See if there's a call to action that you can see without having to scroll. Make sure there's something there that is directing them to take some kind. Maybe the action is to sign a petition to your local government official. Maybe the action is to donate. Maybe it's to sign up to your email, your email newsletter. There's lots and lots of different types of actions that don't cost a lot of money to actually. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's share this awesome news bit that we've got. We just got a $10 million grant from XYZ organization, right? Let's take advantage of that. Let's celebrate those wins. Let's try to get people to, and encourage those people to take some kind of action. People like to couch surf, right? And so they're sitting there just scrolling on with their thumb, right? Make things easy for people. Now, I'm glad that I mentioned that, because you want to also take a look at those 10 pages.
Yeah.
On your mobile device, 40 to 50% of your traffic is likely coming from mobile. You can, in Google Analytics, you can run a port and go type a device, right? And in there, you'll see, if you really want to get a little bit fancy, you can look at the top 10 pages that are coming specifically from mobile. I would bet it's probably really close to the top 10 from desktop. Mm. And just make sure those call to actions are easy to click on. They're not really small. You can actually tap them with your finger. A lot of times we're like, okay, yeah, we've got a button, we've got a link, but it's the font size is maybe too small on mobile. Yeah. We want to make it user and friendly.
Is the term mobile responsive website still applicable?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. So what that really means is that the website will scale down from desktops are really big screens. I have a 38 inch, really ultra wide screen in front of me, very different than this, than my phone. So make sure that you're testing, and mobile responsiveness is that the site will scale down. Things will move around automatically based on the device that you're using.
Okay. So we've talked about taking a look at your overall traffic from a lens that focuses on things that happen behind the scenes. Look at your analytics, take a look at your pages. But let's suppose I notice that my homepage isn't getting as many hits as a certain blog page. Let's take a look at the other side of the website, not the backside. How do I get people to go to my website so that the results show up on my analytics? And I'm not sure I know how to do that. So
the old adage, content is king, is very much true here. What I mean by that is you need to produce content that people are looking for. Again, going back to the analytics, those top 10 pages, what are those pages? That's what people are clicking through to from search. Create more content around whatever those topics happen to be. If there's a page, let's say you're an organization that helps feed children breakfast in some kind of poor city or urban area or whatever. What is the page that's getting a lot of traffic? Can you produce any articles, blogs, news, that type of thing that is related to that? You want to use the right keywords in the title of it. And by the keywords, what are those words that people are going into search and typing in and looking for? You want to use those keywords 6-7 times through the article as well. These don't have to be big. You can really, really dramatically increase the traffic to your site by producing articles that are 400 or 500. Not a lot. If you really want to have an impact on driving traffic, we worked with an organization. They were publishing an article really close to every 8 weeks. So once every 2 months. We worked with them. I've got, anybody that's watching this, I've got this board on the wall behind me. It's a content calendar. We do this exercise with our clients. You can totally do it yourself. We sat down with them with a bunch of post-it notes, old tech, right? We sat down, we said, and we gave them all a pad and we said, write down as many topics as you possibly can in a minute. Just 1-2 words, right? You don't need full sentences. You don't need deep thought on it. Great. And we did this exercise 3-4 times. We kind of organized and categorized them. And then we looked at months of the year. Like there's Alzheimer's Awareness Month. So what are those posts that we can tie into Alzheimer's, for example? And then we put them out on a monthly calendar. And then every month They just have to go and take one from the top and put it down where they want to produce it for the month. So they've got the list of what they want to talk about. So the difference, though, is what you want to talk about versus the frequency of talking about. And that's the point that I'm trying to get at here. So this organization, once every 8 weeks, they were publishing something. We went in, we did this exercise with them, and we said, okay, let's produce content, do it once a month. They went from about 230, 250 visits, unique organic visits per month, to about 350 to 400. So we got really close to doubling just by going from once every 2 months to once a month. We let that kind of ride for about 3 months. And then we said, let's really amp this up. Let's go weekly. And that's what we did. We went weekly. And from when we started with them to about 4 months after we went weekly. So we're looking at about an 8 month period, 7-8 months. We were able to get more than 500% of their unique organic traffic up. So what do you need to do? If you can, produce content once a week that's topical, that's relevant to your organization. Take a look at the analytics over time and go, okay, this is doing really well. Let's produce more content like that over time, because that's what people are looking for. Give the people what they want.
It's not really a new notion what we're talking about. It's still very much true. Content is king, and all you have to do is write something that's compelling to your audience. Of course, that means you have to know your audience. But I'm also afraid of overloading my audience. In this day and age of digital marketing, you know, my audience is getting hit left and right with all sorts of messaging via social media. And while I want to be in touch with them, and while I want to supply to them content that is useful and has something to do with my mission, I guess it's a twofold question. One, how do I not burn them out? And how do I produce stuff that's not lost in the onslaught?
Ultimately, it's about producing content that is of value to them. If there's a gold nugget of some kind in there that they're like, okay, this is really cool. As a nonprofit, you don't want to be producing content all the time. Hey, donate, donate. You can produce content about here's how your donations helped, and write an article about the great work that you did, or you filled a barrel of clothes and sent it over to some country. Talk about if your team got together and volunteered at a soup kitchen. Take some pictures of them, not the clients, because there's a whole other ball of wax around that, right?
Sure.
But get some footage, get something that you can help tell the story visually with it as well. So if you're producing content that has some kind of value, your audience isn't going to get burnt out from it.
Good stuff. Good stuff, David. This is fantastic. And we're running out of time. I kind of want to dig a little deeper into the notion of creating digital content. I guess the last thing I want to touch on is what, and I've heard two different points of view on this, the little social share buttons that people put underneath their posts. Are they useful? Should I bother or not?
Truth is that a lot of people don't use it. Should you bother with it? Yeah, it maybe only takes 10 minutes to set up and get it on there.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, I guess it's better to have it than not. There's no really downside to putting them there.
Exactly. As long as you can fit it in with the design, it doesn't look really horrible in there. Put it on. There's a site called AdThis.com. Mm-hmm. They give you a little bit of snippet of code. You can put it in. If your site's running WordPress, for example, there's a whole slew of plugins that you can put into there.
Yep.
The other side of getting traffic to your site is SEO, search engine optimization. You want to make sure that you're optimizing well for search. And if your site's on WordPress, there's a ton of sites on WordPress. There's a couple options in terms of plugins that you can use that are free and paid. So there's Rank Math, there's Yoast. Those are probably the two biggest ones that are out there. But there's a handful of other ones. And what it allows you to do is put in what you want the meta description to be, and allows you to do some other keyword type things to help you try to rank higher for your content.
I've used Rank Math, and I've touched Yoast, but I didn't really appreciate it so much. I'm sure other people love it. Which brings me to my last question. Do you have a preference for hosting sites and development environments? I confess most of what I develop is in the WordPress world. One of my sites is Joomla, and I have a client who I'm trying to drag away kicking and screaming from Wix. And do you have a preference amongst and I work extensively in one big Drupal site. It's huge and amazingly, it's an amazing tool, but do you have a preference among any of these?
So back in the day, I'm talking like 20, 25 years ago, probably remember the ads on TV, Mac versus PC, right? And which one's better. And really, it doesn't really matter. They're both good. in their own right. One has a little bit of a nicer interface. One is a little bit more geeky and techy. And that's kind of what I akin the difference to Drupal versus WordPress. And what we prefer to build in, I would say 99% of what we build in is WordPress. It's easier for us to train our clients and have them actually take the website on and manage it on an ongoing basis without needing to come back to us for support. Drupal is a great product, but it's a little bit more developer focused. So that's really a difference. And we want to do something that's easy for our clients. And the truth of the matter is we actually built a product specifically for nonprofits that are just starting out or they have a low budget where it's completely done for you. So you don't even have to figure out how to do any of it.
It's amazing. What did you build exactly?
The site is called Mighty NPO, so Mighty Nonprofit Organization. So mightynpo.com. And we've got a promotion. So we'll get a, we'll create a coupon code for everybody listening. You'll get 70% off for life with this. So we'll call it Snapshot 70.
Snapshot 70.
Snapshot 70. We'll create that coupon. You can use it and get... Like I said, it's totally done for you. Fill out a couple of web forms.
Mm-hmm.
We get the information, we customize and build it all.
This is amazing. I'm looking at the site right now. The site itself is very clean, but there's a ton of stuff on here that I think any nonprofit should be able to sink their teeth into. And I would encourage any of my listeners to check this out, mightynpo.com. That's the website. David, as always, it's very good to see you. Thanks for taking the time today. Let's wrap the episode like we usually do. How do listeners find you if they have any questions?
If you want to find me, you can go to wowdigital.com and reach out. We've got a free consult if you're interested. We'll do a free web audit if you're interested in that as well. You'll see some links in the navigation for that. You can reach out to me directly. Just email david@wowdigital.com and check me out. You can find me on LinkedIn and all over.
Fantastic. David, I hope we get to cross paths again soon. If you're ever in this side of the continent, please give me a buzz. And to our listeners, again, that coupon code for Mighty NPO is SNAPSHOT70. Please take advantage of that. And we will see you again with another episode in about a week.
This has been The Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.